Psalm 72 tonight. This is the last message in our kind of Thanksgiving series. We've been calling it I Am Blessed, and we've been looking at so much of the blessings that God has given to us and blessings that don't change with our circumstances. So that no matter what we go through, the highs and the lows in life, and we go through all of those, no matter what, we can always look at what Jesus Christ has done for us that changes, that does not change, and say, you know what? I'm still blessed. So tonight we're going to end with this message from Psalm 72, and I want to begin by reading verse 17 down through verse 19. Psalm 72 and verse 17, His name shall endure forever, His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in Him. All nations shall call Him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be His glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank You for all that You've done for us. Thank You for Your blessings tonight. Lord, as we spend time in Your Word, we ask You would help us this evening to see exactly what You have for us. Lord, help us to see You this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So we began several weeks ago, and the first message that we had was, what does it mean when we say, I am blessed? And we said, well, it means a couple things. It means, number one, that God is good. We're saying that God is good. And we're saying that because God is good, that my life is good. And then we saw also that it means that I understand that it's good for me to have a thankful heart. The second message was, I am blessed with righteousness, not my own, but Christ's righteousness, which replaces my sin. It can't be taken away, and that righteousness is acceptable in God's eyes. The third message was, we're blessed with prosperity, that we've been abundantly given all that we need to thrive and to grow in Jesus Christ. Number four was, we saw that we're blessed with peace, which for the believer means that things that don't have to be a fight aren't anymore. Where we're no longer fighting with God, and we understand that peace means we don't have to fight with life either. The message after that, whatever number we're on, was we're blessed with strength, and our place of strength is the presence of God. As we walk with God, we have all the strength that we need for this life. Then we saw that we're blessed with chastening. And in that chastening, we hear a message of repentance, but also a message of God's love for us and a message of hope that we can change, that we can return to God. And we saw in that that God is committed to us even when we're not committed to God. And then we saw a couple weeks ago that we're blessed with forgiveness, which is a blessing because we've sinned. We're sinners, but we don't have to die in our sin. Blessed with forgiveness. But you know, with all the blessings that we've talked about, and even this week, you know, as we shared things that we're thankful for and the ways that God has blessed us, right? With all of those things, I wonder if we've forgotten something. With all the blessings that we see, I wonder if we've forgotten something. Wednesday, we went up to Maine. So we had to leave. We left a little before 8 o'clock because we need to get to Boston, to the airport, to pick up Erica's mom and her niece Haley and take them to Maine for Thanksgiving. So we get things mostly packed the night before, and then we put them in the car Wednesday morning, and off we go, right? So we get on 395. We're headed on 395 north, and we get past, like, the two first Norwich exits, and all of a sudden I realize I forgot something. I went, oh, no. So I'm like, well, I don't know. And Erica's like, just turn around. We have plenty of time. So the next exit was the one for right by Bacchus. We got to get on 2, and then you got to go to the end of 2 and turn. It's not like a simple turnaround. It's a slightly longer one. I'm already like, oh, we're going to be late to pick them up at the airport. But so we turn around. We go all the way back, and I get it. And then we're back in the car, and we had plenty of time, right? We made it. Well, not plenty of time, but we made it, and we got them from the airport. But isn't that what you do, right? You forget something. To go, well, got to go back, right? Got to go back and either get it done or pick up the thing that I forgot, whatever it is. But that's how you do it, right? You realize you forgot something, so you go back, make sure you get it done. You know, that reminds me of a story. If you turn to the book of Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 in verse 11. Luke chapter 17, verse 11, it came to pass, as he, that's Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? These are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. 10 of them. 10 were cleansed. 1 in his journey went, oh, I forgot something. And he turned back and he glorified God. He had that moment where all of a sudden he went, oh, as he went, he was cleansed. And in that moment, he realized something I can't forget to do. And he returned to give thanks. He returned to glorify God. And I wonder if we're tonight for one of the 9, or if we're like that one leper who's remembered in the midst of looking around and saying, wow, we've got so much. Boy, aren't we blessed. Boy, don't we have so much. I wonder if in the midst of all of that, we've had this moment where we go, oh boy, I forgot something. I forgot in all of this to go back and make sure I thank Jesus Christ for what he's done. Sometimes when I'm texting people and I want to say thank you for something, sometimes I abbreviate that. I abbreviate thank you and I'll just do TX. How many do that? No, okay, thank you. Me and Brother Getty. We abbreviate. I was thinking about that and going, that's like, you know, I'm thankful, but not enough to spell the whole thing out. I mean, right? We got stuff to do. We're busy men, you know. Sorry for dragging you in on that with me. You know, like, I want to say thank you, but, you know, shorten it up. But sometimes even just saying thank you, sometimes we look at that and go, you know, it's really not enough. Right? If someone does something that's so incredible for us, sometimes we look at just saying thank you and say, it's really not enough. You know, if your house was on fire and you were asleep in the house and somebody broke into the house and rescued you, pulled you out of that fire, you'd go, I don't know, yes, thank you, but I don't know, I feel like that's just not enough for the enormity of what you've done for me. And don't we get that sense when we think about all that God has done? And we go through and talk about so much, the forgiveness of God, the righteousness of God, all the things we talked about, we go, I feel like just saying thank you isn't enough. And what I want to see tonight is what the Bible says about how we really need to thank God. Because the Lord tells us to be thankful. The Lord tells us to come back to him and say thank you for what he's done. But how can we really say thank you in a way that's fitting? We can't even say in a way that's equal to what God has done for us. Because just whatever way we can thank God, it's never going to be equal to what God has done for us. But what we can't say is, what's a way that's fitting? How has God told us to say thank you to him? And not just to say it, but also to really mean it when we say it to God. Psalm 72 and verse 17 says, if we're back there, it says, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And I like the end of this verse. And men shall be blessed in him. And we are blessed in him. But then it goes on and says, and all nations shall call him blessed. So how do we really say thank you to God? And how do we say it as if we really mean it? So I want to see 5 ways tonight, 5 descriptions of how to really mean it when we say thank you to God. And the first is this, we need to be specific. So if we look in Psalm 72, verse 17 through 19, as you read it through several times, something stands out to you, and that is the emphasis and the intentional focus on the name, right? The name of God. So starting in verse 17, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and all men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be, and then it uses the name, the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. It focuses on the name of God, and I think I say this every year at Thanksgiving, and that is that when we come together and we have these times when we're thankful, we want to be specific, and we really need to address that thanksgiving to God. Because atheists can be thankful, But they're not thankful to God. They're thankful to whatever, you know, whatever they've got, right? And people are thankful to, I don't know, to chance and to happenstance or just thankful in general, but that's not the Christian. The Christian is specifically thankful to God for what God has done for us. And you know, all the blessings that we've talked about, they are blessings that are specific to Christ, specific to what Christ has done for us. They're blessings we look at and say, these blessings don't apply to the world. There are a lot of other blessings that we have that other people, that even unsaved people can have. We can think about jobs and wealth and these different things. And, you know, other people can say, well, I've got that blessing too. But only Christians can say, I've been blessed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Only believers can say, I've been blessed with the prosperity that God gives us. And we could talk about all of those. They're specific blessings. And we need to specifically thank God for those blessings. It needs to be specific. If we're going to really mean it, we're not just thankful in general. We're not just generically thankful. We're specifically thankful to God and to Jesus Christ. Number one, it's specific. Number two, a meaningful thankfulness is thoughtful. It's thoughtful. So we're going to read all the way back in the beginning of Psalm 72. We're going to read down through verse 16. The psalm it's written by David, and it's a psalm, it says, for Solomon. So it's about his son who would be the next king of Israel, but also in that it's about the Messiah. And I believe David had both in mind, that David knew this was about his son, but also David had the Messiah in mind as he wrote this. And what I want us to see as we go through these verses is the way David considers the work and the person of the Messiah. So starting back in verse 1, give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isle shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence. And precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given out of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains, and the fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. Thoughtfulness. We see that in what David writes, that he has thought about who God is and what God has done. I was at a wedding a number of years ago, as part of the whole celebration, a man was asked to pray. And so he comes to the front, and as he gets ready to pray, he takes his phone out of his pocket. And you could see he, you know, did something on his phone, and he held his phone as he prayed. And I went, oh, he's reading that prayer. At least he's got notes on there. But it seemed like in, you know, the language that he used, it was very flowery and poetic. And it seemed like he read that prayer. And I went, well, that's not usually how we do it, right? We don't usually stand up and read a prayer. But as I thought about it more, I went, I mean, I don't see a problem with it as long as it's from his heart, right? As long as you didn't Google it, like top five wedding prayers and pick the number one, you know? Like if he wrote this out and used that, then I don't really see a problem. I likened it to, you know, when someone has to give a speech, right? Or they have something important that they want to say and they want to make sure they get it right. You know, they want to make sure they don't mess it up. So they write it out. They have it beforehand and they write it out. And I thought, it seems like he put thought into this. And he wasn't the type of person that was like, would get really nervous about these things. Like he was accustomed to doing this. But, you know, so it seemed to me like he said, I want to put thought into this. I don't want to get up and kind of wing it. And he put a thought into it. And then he said, okay, I'm just going to read this. And I thought, as long as he does it from the heart, as long as it's not just like a ritual prayer or something, then I don't see anything wrong with that. In fact, I see benefit to that because he put thought into that ahead of time. And I thought, do we do that when it comes to thanking God? Right? Do we really put thought into how we're going to thank God? And I think have we really put thought into what God has done so that we can appropriately thank him for that and to do it in a really meaningful way? And for example, I want us to go to Psalm 103 because I think we could be more thoughtful in how we thank God and to put a little preparation and planning into what we say when we thank the Lord. So in Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And here's this list, right? A list of the things that God has done. And so David is going through and thanking the Lord and mentioning all these benefits, he calls them in verse 2, the blessings that God has shown. But then we go to verse 8, and it seems like it changes a little bit. Because then he says in verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And he continues on. And I see in there this shift from him recounting what God has done and then going on to who God is. Right? So what he does is he looks at all the things that God has done. And he says, I'm thankful. I'm blessed in all of these. And then he pulls from those who God is, the nature, the character, the attributes of God, and said, you know what I see in all of this? I don't see just what God has done, but I see who God is. And I thank God for not just what he's done, but also for who God is. And so we could say it this way, take it like to a deeper level, the next level down in understanding what God has done and saying, from that, I understand also who God is. And taking time to think through not just the details of what God has done, but what that tells us about who God is, what that reminds us of what we already know about God, but seeing that in what God has done for us. So, and then that takes us from not just being thankful for what God has done, but also who God is, to be present, but then also what God will do, continuing on and having that, our faith almost forwarded and pushed forward. And this isn't something that's hard to do, but I think it's sometimes a corner that we cut, you know, we're like saving time. And so we just list what God has done instead of really saying, okay, I want to meditate on this and think about who God is and what this shows me about who God is from what God has done for me. That's a valuable thing for us to do. It's a valuable thing for us to really meditate on the details of the circumstances that God has moved about in our life and all of those things, and then to say, okay, who is my God from this? What do I now know about God that I've already known, but now I've experienced it in my life? I have something in my life I can point to and say, this is the grace of God. This is the love of God. This is the justice of God. This is the whatever of God, the holiness of God. We could point to any of those things, but we've drawn that from that. And so then when we thank God, we're doing it in a way that we've thought about it. And maybe even, you know, if we go back to the illustration, written it out. So I'm thankful for this and whatever. But the point is that it's not just us saying, here's what God has done, but it's us taking time to think about then who God is from that and thanking God for his benefits, his blessings, and for who he is, the one who has worked behind the scenes, because of who God is. A sincere thank you will be done thoughtfully and with consideration. Number three. So be specific, be thoughtful. Number three, if we're going to say thank you and mean it, we have to be expressive. We have to actually say it to the Lord. We actually have to tell the Lord. This is the difference between being thankful and saying thank you, thanking someone. Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. The Bible doesn't let us get away with the excuse of, he knows my thoughts, right? When it comes to thanking God, and God does know our thoughts, he knows our hearts, but God also says, I want you to thank me. Yes, not just like, and we can have a thankful attitude and a thankful heart, but God says, I want you to specifically express your thankfulness to me. And we're told to bless the Lord, we're told to praise the Lord, and it can be just through prayer, like even silent prayer. The Bible mentions that, right? Thanking the Lord in prayer. And also it talks about thanking God a lot through singing, right? In the Psalms, where we lift up our voice and sing praise to God. And that is our heartfelt, thoughtful thankfulness to God for what he's done. But it has to be expressed. The Bible says you need to actually express your thankfulness to God beyond just having like a aura of thankfulness, if I can use that word, like an attitude of heart thankfulness, but actually expressing it to God in what we say. And I think this can be another corner that we cut in our thanksgiving, as we say, yeah, I'm thankful. But have we gone back and actually said, Lord, thank you for what you've done and for who you are? Number three, it should be expressive as we thank God. Number four, it needs to be vocal. It needs to be vocal. So I want you to turn to Psalm 22 with me. There's several verses I want to read. Psalm 22 and verse 22. Psalm 22 and verse 22 says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Look down in verse 25. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. And then turn to Psalm 35. Psalm 35 and verse 18. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. You know, there's a lot of other verses we could read that are in the same vein, have this same thought, but our thankfulness, our thanksgiving needs to be vocal. It needs to be expressed out loud as well. And now, there are exceptions to this. If there's something private that God has done in your life that maybe is not appropriate for you to share with everybody, then that's different. But when God does something, we should be vocal about it as we thank God and as we praise God for what he's done. And back in Psalm 72 and verse 19, when it talks about blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. And blessing the name of the Lord, we can talk about it as exaltation or glorification, but in Psalm 72 in the end, this is how we on earth improve the reputation of God, how we let the name of God be exalted. And God has chosen to use us to do that. As we go and we share that with other people, all the data when it comes to businesses and attracting customers and attracting business, all the data says that the best way is by word of mouth, like referrals. That's the best way to attract business and to get new customers. Nielsen, the data analytics company, they said that 83% of people trust word of mouth recommendations from friends and family. 92% of consumers trust word-of-mouth referrals more than all other forms of advertising. And there's more data that shows that consumers are 5 times more likely to make a big purchase on the basis of a trusted word-of-mouth recommendation than on a paid ad. And what all of it shows is that companies can pay for advertising, right, on commercials and wherever else you see that, everywhere now, it seems. All those paid commercials, but they say it's What really drives people is like word of mouth referrals. We hear it from a friend that, you know, this restaurant's good. You can go online and like see commercials for something or, you know, read reviews and, you know, they get 1-star reviews. But then you meet someone that you know and they're like, yeah, it's a great place. The food there is great. And it doesn't matter, like usually all those other reviews, you go, if they said it's great. You know, if Ray recommends the pizza there, then boy, I'm gonna go. I think the last new pizza place I went to was because someone recommended it. And it was good. It was good pizza. You know, this word of mouth referral, and God has said, that is one of the ways that I want my name to be known, is by word of mouth, where you spread it. That's kind of intimidating, isn't it? That God has said, all right, I'm putting my reputation in your hands. You talk about it and you live it out, and my reputation will be in part in your hands. And that's how people find out, right? They either have their pastor or a pastor buy them a Bible in Walmart and give them the Bible and they read the Word of God, right? If you're here this morning, right? They either get in the Word of God for themselves and they read it, but there's a lot of people that don't do that. And so what do? They hear us or they see us. And that is how they understand about God, by us. And we look at that and go, I'm not very confident about my ability to really live up to the name of God. And yet God has said, that's what I want. That's how I want it to be done. God could have said, I'm going to have the rocks do it. Right? I'm going to have the rocks cry out, and I'm going to have the trees tell people about who I am. But God said, no, I'm going to have my children, people I've saved, people who I've changed, that have my spirit in them. They're going to go around, and they're going to tell people who I am. And people are going to listen to them about my name. And you know, God has given us opportunities in all the things that he's done for us. Sometimes every time, what God does in our life, right, the blessings that we see, God has said, all right, there's something in your life that attracts people's attention, right? Here's an excuse you have to talk to someone and tell them what I have done, right? I've given you this story that you can share with people. And God gives us these doors, these opportunities to tell people about who he is because of things he has done in our life. And he says, you lift up your voice, you be vocal about this, you thank me publicly, and let people know what I have done so that I can be praised. God gives us opportunities for thanksgiving so that we can tell who God is. But you know, in the passages that we read in Psalm 22 and in Psalm 35, all of those mention the congregation or the great congregation, which are like the midst of God's people. And the psalmist is saying, I'm going to thank God and be vocal about this in the midst of people who believe, people who already fear God. And we need that as Christians. We need to hear what God is doing in other people's lives, and we need to hear God praised and God thanked and done in a thoughtful way that reminds us of who our God is, not just that other person's God. And we need to be referred back to God. We need that word of mouth referral that points us always back to God, saying we need God. We need to be desperate for God. We need to have God in our life. And we need other believers around us who are thanking God. And we go, oh yeah, I need to thank God. Or oh yeah, I need to trust God like they did. Or oh yeah, if God can do that for them, then God can do that for me. And it's important for us, to, even as we thank God, to do it vocally, because God has said, there's something else I can accomplish as you thank me. So number four, it needs to be vocal. And then lastly, number five, kind of a subset of the previous thought, is that number five, it can also be evangelistic. It can be evangelistic. So I'll read a couple verses as you turn to Psalm 96. So as you go there, Psalm 96, Psalm 18 says, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Psalm 108 in verse 3 says, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations, which would be the Gentiles. And then Psalm 96 in verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Thanking God isn't something that's just to be done in private, or just done in believers. It's also something that God has said, it's a good thing for you to do that among unbelievers, people who do not know God. God is greatly glorified when we thank him in the presence of those who don't know him. And sometimes we pray for doors of opportunity, right, for God to open and open a chance for us to talk about him. And maybe what God has done in your life is him giving you a story to tell, a story to go around, and just an easy way to start into the conversation about God. Just sharing what has happened in your life and then saying, God did that. I praise the Lord for that. I thank God for what he's done in my life. And thanksgiving can be this evangelistic tool that we use, where it's not just us in our prayer closet thanking God. It's not just us standing in church or in a conversation with believers thanking God, but also in the world, among people who do not know God, who do not believe God, us standing up and saying, I'm thankful to God, specifically to God, for what he has done for me. You know, we are so blessed, aren't we? We're so blessed in so many ways and in more ways than we can number. But are we thankful? Are we thankful for what God has done? And sadly, we can be one without the other. We can be blessed without being thankful. We can. We can have so much that God has done for us and really not truly be thankful for what God has done. We can be one of those 9 lepers and not the one who returned to give thanks. And I wonder if we've forgotten in all the excitement and the newness of what God has just done in our life, and all the things that we've experienced and seen that God has done, and the new circumstances that God has accomplished, and if in all that excitement and the newness we've forgotten to thank God. But I also wonder if in the, maybe more often for us, in the familiarity of our salvation and the other blessings that we've talked about, and we say, I'm just familiar with all of it. I've known all of this. I've heard this so many times that we've forgotten because it's just so familiar. We've forgotten because we've heard about it so many times. We've forgotten because it's just such a part of our life that we've forgotten to go back one more time to say thank you to God. I remember, well, let me start it this way. How many of you, if I said the phrase, set it and forget it, know what kitchen appliance I'm talking about? Oh, yeah, a couple of those. So back in the 90s, all right, I'll explain to you. Set it and forget it? Man, so back in the 90s, there was an infomercial that played like all the time. And it was for this Ronco's rotisserie. It's like something rotisserie and barbecue. So it was this, it looked like one of those toaster ovens that opened from the front with the glass door. But it was a rotisserie. So you take the thing out and it's got some spikes. And man, there was this whole infomercial, like 45 minutes of like all this food. And so you put the chicken on there and you put it back in there. But the phrase they would use over and over is, set it, and then the audience would go, and forget it, right? So it was this great, great infomercial, right? This was my childhood. Watching this, like this mouth-watering chicken and turkey and whatever ham they would put in there. They also would give you a free basket to roast vegetables in this thing. And you put it in there and you set the button and you set it and forget it, right? Yeah, so it was this great thing, and the guy who invented it was also selling it. And so the whole point of that, set it and forget it, was that like it started and then you just leave it. You can walk away and you know all the housewives, you can go do your other busy work, but you set it and then you just leave it, right? You don't have to think about it anymore. You can just set it and forget it. And I wonder if sometimes we've got that sort of a salvation where God has set it and then we go and forget it, right? We're saved and blessed, but we've forgotten something that God has said. We've said it and we're so thankful that our salvation is done and it's settled. And these blessings of God, they do not change. God has said, you are forgiven. You will always be forgiven. Your sin will not come back to haunt you. You are righteous and that will not change. You have prosperity. You have strength in Jesus Christ. And we have all these things that are set in place for us. But we've understood that. But we've forgotten that we need to go back and thank God. And not just once, but repeatedly go back and thank God for all that he's done for us. We're so blessed. I am blessed, but am I thankful? And if we go one step further, how about this? I am blessed, but am I thanking God? Am I actually going through the motion and taking those steps to really thank God, to do it in a way that's meaningful? And where we've thought about it, we're specifically thanking God, and we're actually putting effort into being thankful and thanking God for what he's done for us? Have we forgotten to go back and thank God? You know, we can't repay him. We cannot repay him for all that he's done for us. He has done so much. We are so blessed. We can't repay him, but you know what we can do? We can say thank you. And we can say thank you and really mean it from our hearts. Let's close with prayer. Lord, truly we are thankful tonight. Lord, we've seen over these past few weeks how blessed we are in ways that really we can't begin to comprehend how great they are and how much you've done for us. And Lord, the price that you paid for our salvation, the price that you paid to give us these blessings, Lord, we can't comprehend that. We can't understand that. Lord, we're so blessed. Help us to be thankful. Help us to actually thank you and really mean it as we do that. Lord, we pray that you'd work in our hearts now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.